Warning, we are about to spoil the 2013 movie, Enemy. If you haven't seen the film, or you plan on watching it, then click away now. But if you've already seen it, or just don't care, then please, stay around.
Cameron, I made a clone of myself so we can think of an opening joke faster.
Oh boy!
Clone, what do you have? I don't have an opening joke. You are made for one purpose. I'm you. Oh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Cinema Roulette. Today's episode is going to be interesting because me and Justin are still in person. No, we are not as bitter as last time. But
no, I'm still bitter. Fuck the strain.
Yeah, we're still bitter, obviously, but this is going to be a lot less bitter of an episode, but I think the trade-off is it's going to be a very short episode because, frankly, there's not much to talk about when it comes to this movie.
Well, there is a lot to talk about, but it needs a deeper dive.
Yeah.
Than a first impression sort of podcast.
Mm-hmm. It's very artsy, has a lot of symbolism.
How the hell do I say a director's last name?
I think it's Villeneuve.
Villeneuve?
I think.
Villeneuve.
Yeah, this is a 2013 film by Denis Villeneuve. If you hadn't already guessed from the spoiler warning, it is Enemy. Still pausing after all these
years. Yeah. Also, from the wheel, this is from Cinefix Picks. So it's from a Cinefix Top 10, and it's the Top 10 Underrated Films of 2014. However, you may immediately point out that Cameron said it was from 2013. That's when it made the rounds at film festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And then fully came out in 2014.
Yes.
Glad we could explain that.
Yep.
And I know last episode you it was either in The Killer or in The Strain you said it was. I actually said it was from the 2013 underrated list because you told me it was from 2013.
Yeah, but they might have put it in 2014. I don't fucking know.
That's when it came out in theaters.
Yes, that's so. Probably why they did that.
Mm-hmm.
So. Is that good Chicago water?
That's good Chicago water.
All right.
I don't have notes for this one, so I can't shake paper at the mic.
Sadly. Well, you can shake paper. It doesn't
I don't have
to be...
paper.
Oh, yeah. You didn't bring them with you, so.
I forgot to take notes. I don't need them.
I really don't.
There wasn't much that happened.
No. The synopsis probably isn't going to take long, so.
Okay. So I don't have much of a segue. I didn't know how
I do kind of love how you've been relegated to the synopsis guy because I just tend to ramble.
You ramble too much. Oh, God. Some of the first episodes.
It's bad. I know. I look back on it. I'm like, Cameron, shut up. You could have cut that.
Yeah, honestly. there's some things, and there's clearly ones in the Gravity Falls one where I interrupt you because I realize you're going to say the entire episode.
Yes, it's... That's why I just let you do it unless it's something I really, really want to talk about, so.
Also, I still feel kind of bad about the Gravity Falls episode where we split the first season to four fucking parts.
What was it, like four episodes per thing or something?
Yeah, because we were going by Angel Beats logic.
Well, Angel Beats understandable because we were soul crushed, but like Gravity Falls, we could have covered one season.
Yeah, because there was enough plot...
Yeah.
That was bad.
We were trying to still find our footing, audience, so.
I still need to put those up on, I would have put those up on Anchor by now, and Spotify and all that jazz, but there's so many visual jokes that you would probably have to go into the old file and re-edit the thing.
Yeah, one of these days I'm going to do that, re-edit it not only because of the visual jokes, but also re-edit it because of the copyrighted music, so. Unless, you know, we get, like, signed permission from the Offspring to use it or something like that.
I mean, some episodes have that right now, and I have not gotten an email, but we will keep walking that fine line.
It's okay, guys. Just don't tell anyone.
And we can use film music because this is a review.
Yep.
So
fair use, motherfuckers.
Fair use, nerds. And we try not to use too much of it, unless I edit it out because Cameron decided to put the entire Mission Impossible theme in one goddamn episode.
Man.
I didn't think I was going to yell. Anyway, we should probably get
get to the synopsis.
Enemy. So Jake Gyllenhaal plays Anthony. He is a school teacher boy. Well, he's a college teacher. And he's bored with his life as it continues to go in a cycle. And he even talks about things repeating itself. I'm sure that won't be a motif.
Even the sex becomes boring, apparently.
The wife didn't see, the girlfriend didn't seem to enjoy it much. But he has... why can't I think of that word?
What word?
People you work with.
Co-workers?
Co-worker, thank you.
People you work with, a co-worker.
I couldn't think of the word. My brain just went, bleh. The strain still infects me.
Oh, Lord.
A co-worker recommends him a movie. So he goes and watches it and has a weird dream about it. He rewinds to the scene that he had a dream about and sees one of the actors looks exactly like him. Like, scarily exactly like him. Mm-hmm.
But Justin, what about the spider room in the opening?
It's not part of the plot. I mean, we did see a spider room, but we'll get to that later.
Yes. Just wanted to add a little bit of foreshadowing there.
Foreshadowing to the movie we said you could watch by now.
Yeah.
But he goes and tries to find... He watches more of the movies to make sure the actor looks like him. He looks up the actor online and is like, yep, that's me. And the actor's name is... No, wait, I am wrong. The teacher's name is Adam, and the actor's name is Anthony.
Yeah.
Bleh, I fucked up. Because Adam Bell is the teacher, and I forget Anthony's last name. But, okay, so Adam is the teacher. He goes and finds Anthony, steals some of his mail, because they, again, they look alike.
Yeah, breaks into his office, steals some of his mail, impersonates him.
I forget the exact because he calls up Anthony. His wife picks up and is like, Anthony, is that you? He's like, no, bye.
Yeah.
Then he calls Anthony one more time. Kind of freaks him out because he sounds like a stalker.
Yeah, but he figures out that he sounds just like him.
Yeah, just like him.
And that's why the wife mistook him.
And the wife also goes to Adam's work and sees that, like, oh, you look exactly like my husband, but I'm not going to tell you that yet. And I forget the reason why the two go and meet up. Because Anthony sets it up. It's like, let's meet at a hotel an hour outside of the city.
Well, yeah, because, like, he calls him, they get freaked out, and I think it's because, like, he's thinking about, like, the wife is like, what's going on? I think you're lying to me or something.
Oh, yeah,
because
he looks in and sees that on the school's website and sees that Adam looks exactly like him.
And he gets curious, and then he decides, hey, I take it back, we should meet.
So they meet up, and Adam kind of pieces out very quickly because Anthony starts pointing out that they have a lot more alike, like even a scar on their stomach.
Yep.
So that leaves Adam running, and Anthony gets worried that without anything that really sets this up other than Adam's girlfriend kind of looks like his wife, thinks Anthony slept with his wife at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Which Anthony, when accusing Anthony, he never says, when he accuses Adam, he never says no. Which then Anthony, he is like, okay, I'm going to wear your clothes and go sleep with your girlfriend because you fucked my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And during this time, Adam decides to go and see his wife anyway as Anthony tries to sleep with his girlfriend. However, both the girlfriend and the wife figure this out. The wife doesn't really care. Her name is Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Mary doesn't care. Mary is also pregnant. Pregnant.
Are you pregnant?
Pregnant. But she doesn't care and still does the nasty.
Yep.
Helen, on the other hand, who was the girlfriend, quickly see.
I thought Helen was the wife, or was that the girlfriend?
No, her name was Mary.
Oh, okay, alright.
We never hear the girlfriend's name, I'm pretty sure, but it's on IMDb, it says it is Helen.
Yeah.
Helen realizes Anthony has a spot on his ring finger where his wedding ring used to be, and realizes it is an Adam. She stops doing the nasty, because this is a podcast for all ages. Like those fucking kids.
This is a podcast for all ages. That's why every time we upload an episode, we click not for all ages.
And click explicit on every single one.
Yes.
But kind of pouty, Anthony drives Helen home. Mm-hmm. But she wants to get out of the car. He gets mad at her and tries to literally push her out while they're driving 40 miles an hour at least. But loses control of the car and crashes it, with both of them dying.
Yep.
And then Adam starts taking over Anthony's life. He kind of says his good mornings to Mary. She goes to the back room. He goes to the back room. She's a giant spider. And movie ends.
Oh, yeah. And then he finds the little key thing that they showed at the beginning.
So. Oh, yeah. And he finds a key to a yellow room.
Where women masturbate and spiders are there.
We'll talk about that in
so,
a sec.
So, yeah.
It's a simple plot, but it's one of those movies that's more of an experience, man.
It's more about, like, the atmosphere and, like, just being a thing, yeah.
I'm just going to call the director Dennis V.
Okay.
Because
yo, what's up, V?
Because I have a feeling I'm saying it wrong.
Uh-huh.
Or we're saying it wrong. But we talked about this in The Killers, where I haven't enjoyed his movies yet. Well, at the time, and that was recorded so long ago of a week.
Mm-hmm.
Or, no, sorry, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because I've seen Sicario and Blade Runner 2049. Both movies I was meh on.
Mm-hmm.
Sicario for different reasons than 2049. But then I saw Arrival. Arrival is badass, and I highly recommend it.
Hell yeah.
Even though it is literally just about learning an alien language. That's it.
Yep.
And it's somehow a super interesting movie.
Somehow more interesting than, you know, The War on Drugs or A Futuristic Cop. In a neo-noir city, which, I mean, I personally still love Blade Runner 2049, but that's because I'm a huge fan of the original and just love how it expanded upon it. But I can definitely see, it's not for everyone. It's a very niche film.
Yeah.
So if you're already a huge Blade Runner fan, you'll love it. If you're, like, brand new to it, you might not.
Enemy, I'm okay with. I'll give it it was a solid movie.
Mm.
It reminds me of The Lighthouse in the sense of it feels very, like you said, very atmospheric, and it's more about the
experience.
The experience of it rather than the story.
Yeah.
Where to go now?
Shit. Hold on. This movie gets very weird. It's very trippy.
At times, yeah.
Like, right from the opening scene, you're just wondering, what the fuck is going on here?
It's the best David Lynch film not made by David Lynch.
It really is. It felt very heavily inspired by David Lynch. like just because of the trippy shit, and just down to some of the weird dialogue they put in the movie.
Yeah, it has that, even though I've seen one David Lynch movie and one episode of Twin Peaks, it has that weird feeling of, okay, that is technically a sentence.
Yes.
But your inflection seems so off.
Yeah, something just is, you can tell it's off with, like, how the characters are speaking and their mannerisms. Like, the best way to do it is just, it feels, like, kind of Twin Peaks-y at times.
Yeah, the first, like, 15 minutes of the movie, I want to say, we both kind of agreed that something feels wrong.
Yeah.
But we don't know what.
Like, you can see that it looks like a normal-looking city, and, like, you know, they're in apartments, but everything's kind of, like, very darkly and stylistically lit, and it's just something, like, the way, I don't know, the way it's edited and the way it flows, and I think the music, too, just something feels off about it.
That soundtrack is actually kind of awesome.
It is.
I don't know how to describe it,
mm-hmm.
but it just brings in with the fact that everything is, like, tinted yellow and the weird soundtrack, it's not synth, it's not, I don't know what they're using.
Electronic sounds of some sort.
Can I say, like, tribal? Is that fair?
It does kind of seem very tribal, does it? A little bit at times.
Yeah, the way the instruments, it doesn't sound like conventional instruments.
No.
And it just builds this weird atmosphere that makes everything uncomfortable and wrong. Yes.
Like, yeah, even, like, just a conversation between him and a coworker, it just feels uncomfortable.
And then you get to the yellow room.
Yeah, this movie starts out with a really fucking trippy scene where you go into, like, a yellow room and, like, the camera's being all weird. But, like, starts out just people are sitting around watching a woman finger herself.
It, not like they're excited or anything. It's a bunch of, like, old dudes just staring.
Yeah, they're not, like, excited enough, clearly being pervy. It's just they're just watching this.
And then it's in dead silence.
Yeah, and then someone brings in, like, a fancy dinner plate or whatever with the cover on it. Like, one of the things that would be like, oh, bon appetit. They put it on the table, lift it up, and there's just a spider crawls out of it. And then a woman crushes the spider with her heel, and then...
And then we cut to the...
We cut to whatever the hell else is going on here now.
We cut to Adam doing stuff.
Yeah.
Well, going through his daily cycle.
Yep.
That he repeats twice.
Yes.
And the other time we're in the hallway to the yellow room.
Mm-hmm.
And we see a woman walking upside down with a spider head.
Oh,
and
that's weird.
And then we pan with her, and then we see either Adam or Anthony.
And they're just sitting normally.
And they're standing normally with the camera.
Yeah, because you think it's like, oh, it's a stylist choice, the camera's going to turn or something. But no, it pans over, and he's just standing there. And he wakes up, and you realize that was a nightmare. That was
a weird one.
That was a really cool moment.
And this yellow room does exist.
Because there's a scene where, like, is Adam the teacher, or who's the teacher?
Adam's the teacher, yes.
Yeah, where Adam, like, because the other guy goes to
fuck his girlfriend.
He goes to fuck his wife or something, I guess.
Well, he was just going to his house because...
Yeah, what?
He was just going to his house because there was nothing better to do.
He was going to his house, and then they go up the elevator, and the bellboy comes on, and he's like, man, I wish I could go back there, you know, or something. Like, but they changed the key, and they, like, left him out or something. So you know the room physically exists.
Yeah.
You just don't know why or what purpose it serves. It is a very David Lynchy type thing. Because, you know, there's the whole red room in David Lynch. You know, mm-hmm. what the fuck it is, but it's there.
Or the lock and key in Mulholland Drive.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Like, it's built up, but you never actually know what it is. But yeah, it exists, but it's just... Ugh, I don't know, man.
And even we see the key be used to open the door at the beginning of the movie, and it's the same key that Adam gets at the end of the movie.
Yep, and then that's when you realize, hey, it's on a loop. Because, like, the movie opens when you hear a voicemail from his mother, and then she says at the end a line, she's like, oh yeah, your mother called enough voicemail, you should probably call her back.
Well, okay, technically it's Anthony's mother, because Adam's mother is dead.
Yes, yes.
This isn't important to the plot, they just bring it up.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be interesting, because, you know, they look exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And, because the weird thing about it that I picked up on is they're both very evasive about their love life when questioned by another person. Because when he says, have you been fucking my wife, he never says no.
Well, you find out he did.
Yeah. I'm saying he never says no, but they're just like, oh yeah, well maybe, look man, you're crazy. And then when, like, the wife asks the actor about,
who
was on the phone, she says something like, have you been seeing her again or something like that? And he's like, just stop. He never says no, but he's like, no, just stop talking or something. Like, what if every time they showed a sex scene, it was actually the other person fucking them?
But that doesn't make sense for her noticing the ring.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that makes me curious there is, does Mary know about the time loop then? If it is a time loop, there's multiple ways to get into this movie, but we're going to stick to the time loop thing, and then we'll go to the other ones near the end.
Okay, go on.
Because then it's like, have you been fucking Helen again? Because that means we're going to do this whole fucking thing again.
Well, or either that, or, like, when they switch places, like, time itself maybe starts, like, melding them together.
Yeah.
Because, like, she notices the ring, and then after they have an argument and they're in the car, she's like, I can't do this anymore. What do you mean you can't do this anymore? And blah, blah, blah. Like, maybe, what if, like...
Oh, yeah, she does say
that. She does say that. Like, I'm sick of this or something like that. So if that's... And then when, like, after he goes to bed with the person's wife, she says something like, so how'd it go at the school?
Well, because she knew that it wasn't Anthony.
Yeah.
But she didn't care. That was the main thing.
Yeah, that was the thing. She didn't care. So, like, what if, like, their lives are starting... They're just starting to switch places, and everything around it is starting to switch with them.
It could be.
Like, this is a film where there are multiple different interpretations. So this film does not like to explain things. It's, you have to notice it. Like, yeah, you have to pay attention and pick up on the hints that it's trying to tell you.
Also, if you're wondering how we know that Adam slept with Mary, it's because in the beginning when he's looking into Anthony, he pulls out half a picture and to compare himself to the actor.
Uh-huh.
And then you see the full picture inside Adam's...
Yep.
Not Adam's, Anthony's yep. apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was him and Mary all along.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of anything else to... Well, there are a few other things to bring up before getting into the other ideas mm-hmm. about the movie. Like, the effects were surprisingly good.
They really were. Like, all of the weird, trippy effects or whatever, so...
Yeah, and also having, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal as two people on screen yeah. able to interact with each other, oh, yeah. it looked good.
It did. And there's a really easy way to do that. Just have the camera in one place, shoot them both in the scene, and then just
crop
composite
it.
It together and crop it. Yeah.
But they're able to grab each other. That's the thing.
Well, that's easily done, too. Because when they put their hands out, they never touch their hands.
No, the scene where he says, "Did you fuck my wife?" He grabs him by the shoulders.
But then you could just have another actor in place there.
Well, yeah, I know.
Shot
but,
and...
but it still looked good. Like, if,
yeah.
even if it's just a composite of Jake Gyllenhaal.
Well,
either, head.
No, I'm saying it's another person that they probably put, had a beard. And they just framed him in the shot. You didn't actually see the face, yeah?
No, you still saw it because it's a full jump forward
oh,
grab.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I didn't notice that. But yeah, either way, the effects were fantastically done.
Also, this is a weird one to focus on, but Mary is pregnant, and her belly looks good.
Like, yeah, like she appears naked in a lot of scenes, just her and her pregnant belly. But yeah, the whatever effect they use, like whatever mold they used of a belly, they mixed it with her really well.
Yeah,
so,
or if it was CG, it looked like her
yes.
actual skin.
Yeah, either way, great job to the special effects department.
Unless
so.
They just got an actress who was actually pregnant.
Yeah, wouldn't that be interesting?
I mean, it's not exactly a hard role, I
no.
guess.
An interesting side note is that in the X-Files season 2,
uh-huh.
Gillian Anderson actually became pregnant with one of her sons or daughters or whatever,
uh-huh.
And they wrote it in the script to have her out of the season, mostly.
Mm, okay.
She gets abducted by aliens, I know, big surprise. In the X-Files.
In the X-Spoilers?
Yeah, but no, they did that to work around her pregnancy, so.
You know, some weird thing with X-Files 8. From the little I watched, anytime it got to an alien episode, I was like, oh, I'm bored.
I know. Yeah, we'll talk about that later, but...
at some point, when we get to even longer series.
Yeah, one of these days, so... I don't know, I liked the alien stuff, but it just... If you don't like... if it's not your thing, then yeah, you're not gonna enjoy it.
I think I'm... with... when it comes to smart aliens,
uh-huh.
I feel the same way when it comes to ghosts. It's like, oh, I'm just kind of bored by this.
Yeah.
I like weird, freaky aliens,
yes.
like The Thing and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, and another, I know it's getting completely off topic, but like another thing is they were smart enough to only have like a third of the episodes be on the aliens. The rest of it was Monster of the Week.
Yeah.
Unquote. They were smart to do that because all the freaky stuff was awesome. But let's get back on topic here.
About enemy. Also, yeah, the trippy stuff like the woman with the spider head yeah. or...
just the spider in the city, the long shot of, like,
the
giant-ass spider.
The giant spider for...
looks like a fucking tripod from War of the Worlds.
A Canadian War of the Worlds.
Yes.
I think the fakest effect is when Mary turns into a giant tarantula.
Yeah, it was clearly CG.
But it's only on screen for, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah, they were smart enough not to linger on it.
Yeah.
And he just kind of sighs. He's just like,
it's like, ah, fuck, the yeah. wife's a spider again. Does that mean she's gonna have more kids?
Oh god, are they all gonna come out sex? Jesus Christ.
Also, I like the yellow lighting.
It looked really cool. Yeah, it almost had this like Deus Ex look to it, the one game which
yeah
had yellow.
The
yeah.
third Deus Ex.
Yeah, it almost had that kind of look to it, except just like it was just very like almost gold in a way. So.
Yeah, well, it did for the one hallway for the gold. Well, that's why we call it the gold room, because
yeah.
it looks gold.
But the rest of it is just like a lighter shade of yellow throughout most of the movie.
Yeah, until the very end when things seem to be looking brighter.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
What?
Okay, the only thing that looked like the end of the movie was the fake movie.
Hmm?
Or the movie within the movie.
Could be more symbolism there.
More pointing to that none of this is real.
Yep.
Or, well, some... it's metaphorical.
And we still don't know if the mirror thing was a mistake or not.
Yes, okay, so should we get... Is there anything else on the movies before we get to other theories?
Not really, it's just I really like the cinematography, the fucking sound and everything, yeah. I will say this, you know, I know we talked about lighting, but yeah, cinematography is fucking gorgeous.
Oh, yes. fucking Dennis V, whoever he hires for cinematography, yes.
Like,
fucking great at their job.
Even if you don't like the movie, one thing that's consistent about Dennis V is that he has just strikingly gorgeous cinematography. That's why I loved 2049. It was one of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen. It's so pretty.
But the other theories.
Yes, let's get to the other theories.
One of the main theories that you found in an interview with Jake Gyllenhaal, right?
Yep.
Is that it? There are not two people. It is only one person fighting with himself over cheating.
Yeah, over having an affair. And so he's projecting and trying to come to terms with himself, basically.
And the only way, I guess, to do that is to kill his other self and the girl, the cheaty...
And the person he's cheating on his wife with.
Yeah, the affair-y, I guess.
The affair-y.
I don't know, what do you want me to call him?
I don't know.
Helen.
Yeah, Helen.
Kill Helen.
Sure.
But, and the only thing that... Well, okay, hold on. Let me get my words straight.
Sure.
Because I can see that theory... And the one thing that I noticed before we looked a little bit up was when they first meet in the hotel, there's like, I don't know, it's probably a fire escape thing, like the plan or whatever, and it's laminated. So you can see a reflection of the room. Adam was standing right in front of the window, so he would have been silhouetted, but you see nothing there. And the only reason I would say that was on purpose is because it's a panning shot to bring Anthony to Adam. So he was in the room during the same shot.
Also, I just realized the fan's on behind us. So.
Do you hear it?
Slightly, yeah.
You could turn it off, I guess.
I could. It's just it's been throughout the whole episode. So.
I mean, you could still turn it off.
Do you want me to turn it off, Justin?
They're now going to notice. All they're right. going to try to actively listen for it.
Yeah. Keep going. Just keep going.
I don't know where to go. Shit. Because that's the only way I noticed it. Rewatching the film, you could probably see more moments. I mean, they're never in the same room with one of the girlfriends. That's also the thing.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah.
And also all those weird lines where it's like, I can't do this anymore. What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean? Exactly. It's a very thought-provoking film, and it's one that you can definitely just draw theories from.
Yeah, this seems like a fun one to dig into. There's one saying that the spiders symbolize women, or the way the character views women.
Mm-hmm.
Which and also there's a lot of spider web imagery throughout, like, there's the obvious ones of, like, when the car crashes, the window spread... The windows are broken to look kind of like
spider web, yeah.
The other one I can think of is when he's on the trolley, the wires above are like an intersecting spider's web.
Yeah.
Intersecting. Yeah. No one can
see
this.
That's good hand motion. I like that.
Yeah, look at this, audience.
You enjoying that? Good. Good.
Good. I forget what the other theory was. There was one more, and I can't think of it right now.
God, now that I'm thinking of the fan, I feel really bad about that. Really bad about that bit.
It's fine. It probably wasn't too loud.
No, probably not.
But this does feel like sort of a movie just to dive into and look more and more. Again, it's very Lynchian that way.
It is. It's very artsy, and it's very it's one of those things. It's a movie that just refuses to explain itself. It's just this is happening. Draw your own conclusions from it.
What was the one hotel sign where it was like oddly split?
Was it the hotel?
There was a sign in the...
I forget what it said. I know what you meant, but it was like a word that was split that really shouldn't have been split.
Yeah, because there had to be... It's one of those things where it's like, okay, was that intentional? Was that an accident?
Well, it had to have been intentional. There's no way this hotel accidentally did that.
Yeah. There's just weird things in the background where it's like, okay, what? Or the blueberries. Why were the blueberries so important?
I have no Oh yeah, because there's a scene where like he's talking to the wife and like he comes back from like a run or something, he's working out, or like it's like, man, it's so hot outside. He's like, and he opens the fridge, he's like, where are the organic blueberries? I can't, not the regular blueberries, no, I need the organic blueberries. I told you about this. And she just goes on about it.
For while, like 2 minutes.
While she's just like sitting there just like
she's still thinking over.
And then like there's a thing later in the film where he's talking to his mom and he's like, Mom, you know I don't like blueberries. Remember that?
Yeah, I know.
And then, like, he goes there and he opens the fridge and it focuses on the fucking blueberries. What does that mean?
I guess it is a contrast to yellow, technically.
Technically,
due to
how color works, yeah.
Yeah, well, I was trying to think of the word, but I got nothing. Yeah. It's a primary color, so they connect that way.
Yes.
But there's no red in the film.
There isn't. It's
well, except the opening shot is kind of orange.
Yeah. It just has a very distinct look to it.
Actually, it looks like part of Blade Runner, because I don't remember when in the movie, but I remember at some point Ryan Gosling, I almost said Reynolds.
Good job.
Is in very intense yellow.
Yes. Well, there is that room as well in 2049 where like they're like, it's that, remember that room where like the shadow, the light kept going through? It was just that yellow.
Oh, yeah,
room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of where to go.
I don't think there's anything else, man. Is there?
Yeah. I mean, the acting is great.
Oh, yeah. The performances are fantastic. Jake Gyllenhaal does a fantastic job.
Why do you always add the TH?
I don't know. Gyllenhaal.
The actress who plays Mary. Not to discredit Helen, she just doesn't say anything. Yeah. She has 3 lines throughout the movie. So I guess she does a great job.
Yeah. And the one scene with his mom is the woman from Twin Peaks, Isabella Rossellini.
Which, I have to feel that's slightly intentional.
Oh, I'm sure it was. Actually, let me look something up here.
Actually. No, okay.
No, it wasn't, because I know the room.
If you hear the clicks of my mouse.
A little bit. But I noticed the room number of the hotel room was like 221 or 222 or something like that. And I was like, wait a minute, was that like a room number from Silent Hill or something? And I was like, no, it was 20-something, 204, 203.
There was probably a reason it was 221.
Yeah, or 223 or whatever.
It was 221.
It was 221, yeah. Probably a reason, just we don't know. But
we'd have to watch it I'm sure someone is like, oh, that's so obviously a symbol because it's a double-double.
Double-double?
There's 2 of the same number, and then there's 1 inconsistency, I guess.
And it's 2 is because double.
Yeah. Well, it was based on a book called The Double.
Yeah.
Very much more based than direct adaptation I've read, so in case...
Yeah. Because that quote at the beginning about chaos, that's from the book.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
What was the quote again? It's like...
It's like something about like chaos is actually organized or something like that.
Yes, probably.
Some shit like that. This is definitely...
Chaos is order, yet undeciphered.
Undeciphered,
I almost said disciplined.
Yeah, that's chaos is order, yet undeciphered, meaning that even though something seems to be in chaos, there's probably an actual meaning or something actually going on here you can figure out. But this is definitely not a movie for everybody, I will say.
Oh, yeah. I think Dennis V makes consistently those movies.
Yes. Yeah, his most mainstream film was probably Sicario, honestly.
Or Arrival. I think a lot of people can get in. Arrival is probably a level of artsy that most people can get into.
Yes. Yeah, this is definitely way more just straight art house movie.
Also, one thing that goes for the circular theory is... Mm. Oh, it fucks it up here. Because on the quote list, it's saying Anthony says this, even though it's Adam because he's the teacher...
What if it's wrong on purpose? See, it's just organized chaos, Justin.
Stop it. But Adam is teaching a history class and talks about how dictatorships are a never-ending cycle.
Yep, that makes sense.
And he does this 2 times over.
Well, yeah, because he actually, too, draws the circle with all the names coming out of it.
Yeah, so. But it also just goes chaos, 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 chaos at one point.
Yeah, overall.
Oh, because it's in order, but it's...
There you go, see?
Fuck you.
Yeah. No, but yeah, no, this is definitely not a movie for everyone. It's a slower movie for sure, too. It's not a fast moving film.
I'm debating if I'm going to use the actual title card of the movie, mm-hmm. or if I'm going to throw in the poster, because I really like the look of that poster.
The poster's really cool, too. But either way works, honestly.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I thought this was a really good movie. Definitely give it...
What? It's on Netflix right now. Yeah. It should still be on Netflix when this episode comes mm-hmm. out, so...
Definitely. I think I'd give it maybe a 6.5 out of 10 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'd give it a 6.5.
It wasn't quite a 7, but it was definitely not low, as low as a 6. I felt 6.5.
Yeah, there's still, like, my problem with Dennis V films a lot of time, oh, I say a lot of time, out of 4 movies, but, like, mainly with Sicario, it always has this heavy atmosphere at the beginning, but then it either continues to interest me after the midway point, mm-hmm. or it completely loses me, and a lot yeah. of the time it loses me.
Because Sicario, I can understand. I personally still really loved Sicario, but I can definitely see after that car chase, after like it slowly kind of drips off.
Yeah, there's like such a high that it's like, okay, so what are we doing next? And then it goes back to yeah. the kind of melodrama-ish.
Yep. And the thing about Blade Runner 2049 is that it had a very strong first third and a very strong last third, but the middle really dropped.
And for a nearly 3-hour movie, yeah. that middle part is long.
Yeah, but like once it gets to the finale and all that, it's really fucking good. And the intro is really fucking good and brings up some great ideas. It's just, I said this in the Blade Runner episode, I just noticed in the middle half how, like, the scenes between him and his, like, the virtual girlfriend, mm-hmm. I was like, wow, this is a lot longer than I remember it being. Jesus Christ.
But with Enemy, it kind of lost me because the character mode, unless you're going by time loop theory or... Yeah. For a first-time viewing, character motivations don't make sense.
No, they don't. And I get that, like, it's all... Like, the movie's probably, you know, about the themes of fatalism, and they're just kind of doomed to repeat this over and over again.
Yeah.
But, like, their motivations just... Yeah, like the thing with him, like, are you fucking my wife, just kind of comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he also has a blonde girlfriend.
Yeah, so
are you fucking my wife?
Yeah, it just kind of comes out of nowhere. It just... It's really odd, so...
Yeah, that's kind of the... So, basically, the movie lost me near the middle, but it kind of gained me near the yeah. end when I realized what was going on.
Yeah, and it helps that it's not 3 fucking hours. It's normal movie length.
Yeah, it's so. Like 90 minutes.
Yeah, so.
What?
You don't go to the movies, do you?
But, without further ado.
Yes.
I
think we're good. I think we talked about the movie enough. We were just saying, yeah, it's a slower movie, but we still, if you're in the mood for an artsy, more artsy film, I definitely recommend it. It's really good. So
if you want something that's really rewatchable, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, because there's more hints you can look for and more things to draw from it, so.
But that's going to mean it's time to,
oh, yeah.
Well, I need to start recording first. It's going to be time to spin the wheel of movies.
The one that we use to decide which movie we review.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the whole point of the show. We're like 60 episodes in. I hope they know
67?
This.
No, yeah, 67? No, almost 70 in.
Yeah. So I hope they know the concept of the goddamn show by
no,
now.
No, they do. I was just being posh.
Okay. And spin it!
Ooh, what we get?
Jacob's Ladder.
Ooh, yes, I'm excited for that.
I know nothing about it. I have the Blu-ray, though.
This is going to be a fun one, yes. Jacob's Ladder.
Jeepers.
Sorry, I got so excited. I just fucked up my words. Jacob's Ladder, the movie that heavily inspired Silent Hill, and you'll see why.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. It's that kind of psychological creepiness.
We should probably watch it soon because it's the 4th of July and the fireworks are going to be going off.
That's true. We probably will. So.
But, yeah.
So, yeah, stay tuned for that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm excited. This is going to be cool. All right.
Or it won't.
It's going to be scary.
Spooky.
But, yeah, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Cinema Roulette. And, wow, I feel really good about that episode. I felt really bad about the strain because we're so mad and incoherent.
Yeah, but that's kind of what some people listen
that's,
for.
Yeah, so that's what it does to us, ladies and gentlemen. This is... Oh, yes. All right.
End the episode.
Thank you so much for watching this episode of Cinema Roulette. If you want to follow our hosts, Justin is at JKPancake on Twitter, and Cameron is at CameronPixInc on Twitter. You can watch the video version of the podcast. Sometimes you actually get to see our host faces at CamCam on YouTube, or just look up Cinema Roulette Podcast. Thank you so much to Teller's Place for their artwork that we use mainly in the YouTube version and you can kind of see on the podcast version. If you enjoyed the show, please consider either subscribing to it or rating us on whatever podcast app you use. That would be cool of you.